This morning, I'd like to go to 1 John. 1 John. First of those three epistles there. And in the second chapter. Second chapter of 1 John. And so I'll read what I guess would be my text this morning. In the 24th verse, it says, "Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father." So, just to clear up from the very beginning, this is not saying that we must let abide in us, let remain in us, not depart from something, or the Son will not continue in us eternally. This is not talking about regeneration. It's not talking about whether or not, it's certainly not talking about us having the power to stop doing something in our lives and no longer having the Holy Ghost within us, Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost, and lose our eternal salvation. I'm going to talk about this, and it's talking about we would still, if we don't do what I'm going to go in more detail here, if we don't continue in this, we will still have that eternal relationship with God. He's our Father. We'll still have that. So it's not so much because at first I'm thinking, okay, this is about this is about, you could say, if you will, our relationship with God here, but more so communion, fellowship with God, fellowship with God. That's what this is talking about. Now, so if I just read this to you, maybe said a couple things and sat down, don't get your hopes up. We don't pick out verses and just, I mean, some of them can stand on their own, and this one can, and you can just preach on it and so forth, go out from there. But we need to look around this, certainly in front of it, and we're given liberty to do that because the word therefore is in there. It's therefore. Let that therefore, okay, and then I'll get back to that. But so we page back and kind of look at what we've led up to here, and he's talked about the Antichrist. He's talked about deceivers. So he's talking about our communion, our close communion with God. And giving us a way to draw closer and to God, and have that close relationship here, because we can lose that. And again, as I always say, if there's something in God's Word and God is telling us, exhorting us to do something, then we're able to do it. He wouldn't. Why would he tell us to do something if we can't do it, if we're not able, or he doesn't give us the ability to do it? Of course, the only ones that are able to do this are born-again children of God. That's it. It's not unfair. If it's not a born-again child of God, they don't want to do any of this. They don't want a close communion with a God that they don't believe in. So he in this particular epistle and even in the second chapter, as we get down to that 24th verse and that therefore, he just comes out and says in the very first verse, "My little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not." And there is a period there. "These things I write unto you that ye sin not." In several places in here, he says, "I write unto you, I write unto you." He gives reasons and all. It's an exhortation and an encouragement not to sin. That's even in this so difficult King James translation, that's so simple to understand there. "My little children, these things I write unto you that ye sin not." The next sentence here in that verse, he says, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the righteous." Well, he just told us he wrote these so that ye not sin, but if you do, well, we're going to commit sin. But this is to, and then he offers all of these words, which I'm not going to go over, all these words in this second chapter on down to my verse, my text, as warnings. And I've gone through some of these before, says in the 13th and 14th verses, "I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one." Then he says, "Love not the world, neither things that are in the world." That's what this is about. If we fail at this, we will lose the fellowship with God. I don't know whether or not that will ever happen to me. In my life, I pray not. And yet I will have that within me that I get to in a moment, that thing that no man needs to teach me. And I will have the Spirit of God within me, but I will lose that relationship. I have not, and maybe this is bad on my part and a failing, but I have not talked with those who have strayed, permanently, gone, never see him anymore, and in detail, not just how have you been doing and talk about the weather and stuff, to find out more about that side of it. But ones that I have briefly, they miss so much. They miss so much, and especially the ministers that I know of.
Good.
That fire that burns in us to preach to you these things, it doesn't just go out. Mm-hmm. And it's still burning in there. And yet we ministers do things where we have to either be put out of the church, even if it's just for a time, for repentance and all. And so it's almost like that fire burns even hotter, and yet we have no way to, and ministers have gone astray. It's like to find a way to satisfy that, maybe with another people, denomination, or I don't know, but other ways, it's that communion, that fellowship. If we succumb to this, so he said, "These things I write unto you that ye sin not," and he talks about then gets more into the Antichrist, those who are against Christ and all. But back to that 24th verse, "Let that therefore abide in you." Okay, let what? Let what? Oh, let the Spirit? No. He tells us right there what the that is. What the that is. Yeah. let that which ye have heard from the beginning remain in you, not depart from you, continue in you, be preserved in you. And he's saying, let it. That's a commandment to us, an exhortation that we do that. So we can. So on the converse, where I said he won't tell us to do something if we can't. He gives us the ability, and we also have the unction, the urging to do that, and the desire. If he tells us to do something so something else will not happen, then that something else can happen. So let that which ye have heard from the beginning therefore abide in you. So if we have to let it, that means it maybe will not abide in us. It might not abide in us if we don't do something. That should tell you right there, this is not eternal. You can set that aside. So nice, preaching sermons where we can just set that aside. That's done. Jesus Christ, your Redeemer, has done it. Amen. And so now all I have to do is not sin. Yeah. How about that? But we have a closer communion with God when we do that, when we strive to. He knows when we're striving to. He knows when we're trying and all, and he helps us. Gives us strength. So let it not depart from you. Let it continue in you. And in fact, this word abide right here in just one page of 19th verse is the word have continued. It's the same Greek word, continue. And preserve is another one. There's also another word. Persevere, to continue in it, to abide, remain in it, don't depart from it, of whatever this is. And I haven't even gotten to what that which ye have heard from the beginning truly is, and I will. Back, and I don't know, I never really have looked in all the minutes and records to see approximately when the verbiage changed in the articles of faith of associations and churches. But it used to say that we believe in the final perseverance of the saints. Well, now, if you look, go back and look, it says we believe in the final preservation of the saints. You know, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. The word is. Let me say that. And I hope I don't mix up my words here and confuse you more. To preserve ourselves in this, to persevere here, is to continue in that, remain. And we can lose that fellowship with God. But the final preservations, that you talk about a preservation, truly preserved in Christ Jesus, our Redeemer, in the blood of Christ, that's our preservation. And so that difference there. And so in all the details and the different wordings and thoughts and all, and comments and writings on Calvinism, and we oversimplify some of that. But whether or not someone says that every child of God that will be in heaven will hear and believe the gospel, they don't have to go to heaven, but no, they will hear it and believe it. We could pick out, if we stop just for a moment, pick out those who never heard the gospel and who bore the fruit of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I feel for those. Those are the ones I pray for. The Apostle Paul prayed for them in the 10th chapter of Romans. That my heart's desire and my prayer for Israel, that they be saved. From what? From ignorance. That they would have this close communion with God here. If we say, well, if someone did not persevere, if they failed at this sometime before they die, natural death, then they weren't really a child of God to begin with. No, that's not right. I feel even saying the words to contradict those, I feel like I'm somewhat fearful of being struck down, because I don't want to take power from the God Almighty that we worship, and Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer, that something that we would do here or not do would remove us from the hands of Christ. It can't be done. Amen. Can't be done. So we rest in that. We rest in it when we lose our loved ones and know that their spirit and soul is in heaven. We rest in that. Oh, and then we envy them and want to be there. That feeling in me gets stronger and stronger as I see those go on. But that's a comfort there and a peace. But let this here remain in you. Let it not depart. So what is it? What is it exactly? We know, okay, it's that which we've heard from the beginning. Beginning of what? What's the beginning? You know, there's the end times, there's the end times, there's the last day, the last days, there's the beginning of this, end of this world, and that. It gets confusing in here. The end, yeah, so anyway, so let's move on here. Lord being my helper. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. And he says, if that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, okay, if it does, if it shall remain in you, that thing which you've heard from the beginning, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Here, right now, And there is an Old Testament verse that I hope to end up toward the end. That's beautiful that I saw, got emailed out this morning by Elder James Baker, and happened to hit really right on this. So that you've heard from the beginning of the gospel age, the New Testament church, from the gospel. This is talking about the gospel. And we have other verses of scripture that tell us if we don't take heed of that, if we don't remember that, then we will not be saved in a certain respect. Not eternally. No. I hope that's been put aside. So if we forget these things, and that's why a minister's job is to put you in remembrance of these things. I have to be reminded all the time, time and time again. And sometimes we hear something that we have heard preached or read many times before, and somehow it hits us again. The Holy Ghost comes down upon you, and the Spirit of God, and blesses you to see something you never did. Maybe you needed that verse because something just happened to you, or something's about to, and you needed it. That's happened to me. So now, let me jump to Philippians real quick and get a verse. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, in the middle of this a long sentence here, the apostle, but being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That hath begun a good work in you, and it abides in you. It remains in you. It doesn't depart from you. And as we continue here, it says, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you, again he says, concerning them that seduce you. So again, it's the deceivers. It's the false doctrines. It's the false apostles, preachers. He's written these things for that reason, because of concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. It does. That's the state you're in. It abides. It remains in you. Doesn't say, let the anointing you have received of him abideth in you. Doesn't say that. It said, it does. It abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, it shall abide in him. It's preserved. It's preserved. In Jeremiah, 31st chapter, that's where this wording comes from, 34th verse, talking about this covenant with the children of Israel. And then it says here in the 34th verse, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. They don't have to teach them that anymore. For they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So they shall know me. We have that knowledge. And that's where I've said this in the past, probably badly, but even when someone has never heard the gospel preached, even if they've never set foot in a church, or they may say that they don't believe in God, that if he in fact abides in them, they truly do, but then no man needs to teach them that. So, I don't have to read my Bible and listen to preaching day after day after day. No, we learn more. We strive to learn more and more detail and to understand things. But to they will know I am God. We know that, and we always will. And that's why when we stray, when someone has walked away or been sent away and then never come back, then they lose that communion, they still have the knowledge of God in them. And I'll see them in heaven. I will see them. If a minister who is a child of God was called to preach the gospel, and we've heard him preach it, and he's no longer around, don't know where he is, not in the church, of course, not preaching, I'll see him there. Amen. What sin has he committed that I've done any less? It's sin is sin. And so we're right, just like I read where Jeremiah included himself in the sins, the transgressions of the people of Israel, of Judah, where he prophesied. He was a part of them. He hadn't done those things that they did, but he said, we have done this. We're all included. And that's why we all understand each other that much better. So we're in that. There's the ye shall abide in him. That's the preservation. That's the preserved. He's gotten off of this. This gives us encouragement. This should encourage us to let that remain in us that we heard from the beginning. The gospel. The gospel, when you see these signs on the side of the road, it says the gospel saves. I'd say, yeah, amen, it does. Not the way the painter of that sign maybe thought. That it doesn't save eternally, but it does save. That's in here. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. We know that. We see this is the fruit of the Spirit in them. We see that. We witness that. Justification by works. We see that. And then I've seen others fight it, but I would still see that fruit on that tree. And no matter how much you can tell some people, and they're hard-headed, no, I'm not going to be in heaven. I'm too bad, too sinful and all, and never come to church, never join the church. But for the grace of God, that would be me. So it's a fellowship with God. 28th verse, 29th, the fellowship with God, because we're born of him. Now, in Hebrews, the second chapter, Hebrews chapter 2, see, it says, here's another therefore, and these are all the things that we've heard from the beginning. It says, therefore, we ought to, oh, I'm going to finish that sentence, I want to read that, we ought to give thee more earnest and heed, if I can get this, I'm going to start over. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. They can slip. We can let them slip. I tell you what, I can do that on my own. But the deceivers, the antichrist, and we're not talking about one person there. It's everywhere. But Satan has his wiles that I preached on before, his little schemes, and so he's just waiting there. And I tell you what, they are customized to me, to each person. He knows. But so when we do glorify God, and flee from Satan, which it says. And these things go against our human nature. It does. These things do. But when we do that, we can feel that power that we have within us, that we can battle those things and do this. Don't let it slip. Take heed lest you ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which you've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now in Romans, the first chapter, Romans chapter 1, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And again, he had, Paul was blessed. He had his work cut out for him, preaching to the Jews in hundred centuries that they'd been in that belief. And now you're telling us, oh, it's been fulfilled. All that's gone. And he'd say, well, go look. Where's the temple veil? Oh, it's rent from top to bottom. But anyway, so here in this, he says all these things that I've said, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation here. And we read, he blesses us to rightly divide the word of truth. Some of this can be hard to rightly divide. You might be able to spot a heresy from a mile away and see that. So but here's the truth. And, okay, that was easy enough, but to divide the truth, that's difficult sometimes. You get turned around in it and all. So that's where you ought to take earnest heed to the things that we've heard from the beginning. Let me see if I can find one more verse back here in, I remember if it's 1st or 2nd Timothy, but... No, I don't spend time looking for that. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and the 9th verse or so in there. Let me just start at the 10th. Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God. They could put that in the New Testament. Ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God. Your captains of your tribes, your elders, and your officers with all the men of Israel. So that gives you the view of this, the scene and the scenario. I'm going to back up one verse to the ninth. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them that ye may prosper in all that ye do. My first thought, way I am, very logical, is like, I haven't done all these things that we should do. But when I'm doing them and all, it doesn't seem like I'm prospering in this or that. I spent 2 weeks here recently on a project and ran into one thing after another and solution, and actually had to contact a support desk, for this section of code, a third-party thing in my application and everything. But I'm just racking my brain. Could not get it. No one could. And all. Finally, it came. I thought, I want this to be over and all. And so during those times, I think, I'm not prospering here. But it says in all things, but it's whatever the all includes. We know that from other places. Whatever the all is talking about, that's what it's talking about. But selfishly, I think, I want to prosper in all things because I'm selfish. So what do I need to do that? Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them. Do them. Don't just keep the words. So, I know the gospel and I take heed, maybe not earnest heed, like it says that I ought to do and all. But no, do them. Do them. And that's where in talking to many of you here in this building, that I realize that you in fact do that. You do those things that are worded here, whatever they may be. So we see that again. You wouldn't do them if you weren't saved eternally. If you didn't have the Spirit of Jesus Christ within you, you wouldn't care. Your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood under the drawer of thy water, that you shouldest enter into the covenant with the Lord thy God and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So, keep therefore the words, and this is what Brother James texted out this morning to several ministers, and that ninth verse was the first one, keep therefore the words, but just know there are several, and ministers have written books, booklets, pamphlets, and spoken on some of the verses that I know. I'm coming up with a couple of ministers off the top of my head that are so good at this that can get you twisted around. But just there's some simple things. Number one, and Kathy had reminded me of this a good while back, that a minister had said that if you look at a scripture and if there are two different ways to go on it, one of the routes gives you more glory and honor and praise, and another one gives God the honor and praise, you take that route in a verse of Scripture. You take that one, and that's going to get you going on that. Always reconcile it to all the other Scriptures that you do know that are just plain. Go back to the basics and find those. Like, well, this can't be talking about this because this verse says that, and it's so plain. God gives us these things, but we know that he is God. May God bless and keep you is my prayer.